Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiler movie reviews.
Hey, what's going on, party people? It's your boy Rod, and I am back for a spoiled movie review, a solo review. This is for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing or don't care about the movie, because I do spoil the movie. And today's movie is No Sudden Moves, a movie you can find on HBO Max, starring Don Cheadle, and Benicio Del Toro, David Harbour, John Hamm. Has a pretty good cast. Brendan Fraser's in it. But yeah, we'll get into this review of this kind of heist film. Of course, it's a solo review, so it's just me. I'll talk about what I liked, what I didn't like, score from 0 to 5. This will probably be a short review. I'm planning to put out a lot of these reviews today, and they're probably all going to be pretty straightforward and pretty short, I would guess. But let's get into this review. A group of criminals are brought together under mysterious circumstances and have to work together to uncover what's really going on with their simple job, when their simple job goes completely sideways. The director is Steven Soderbergh, who's one of my favorite directors. He just made a lot of movies that I really like. And it's funny because I feel like I like the movies that aren't necessarily his, you know, big ones, but he just does great work. You know, I enjoyed Ocean's 8, but the ones that the ones he's directed, I think he directed like The Girlfriend Experience, which I thought was good. High Flying Bird, which I thought was good. It was on Netflix. I may have done a review of that. Haywire, which is just so underrated. So yeah, dude, just he's quietly just kind of had a lot of reviews, that a lot of movies I've really liked. Y'all may know him from Ocean's 12, you know, and Ocean's 11, you know, some of the bigger Traffic, I think, was a big one for him. But, you know, for those aren't necessarily the ones that I gravitate to. At any rate, so he directs this movie. Things I liked about it. Let's start there. Well, the acting performances and the casting was great. I mean, I think pretty much every heist film is about casting. Almost every heist movie, you know how it's gonna go because it's a heist. You know, even when it goes sideways, you know, the person that gets killed that's not supposed to get killed, and the person that betrays everyone, and the person who looks like they're in over their head but really they were in on it the whole time. Like, it's all the same shit. But so you really got to just nail the casting, and getting Don Cheadle and Benicio Del Toro, wow, they carry the film in so many scenes, and just completely nail their characters. The fact that it's kind of a period piece, basically, where this takes place in like the 1950s or 40s or some shit, so you have to deal with everything around that as far as like technology. There's no cell phones, the cars are all old school cars and shit, and there's no internet and all that stuff. And another thing I like was just the overall plot of it, being that this heist is all around the idea of covering up the pollution of these these engines that Ford had, and all these car engines at the time, which is super big money and super big deal at the time. But I guess with it being so long ago, it's like, you know, we all know that this shit came to pass, and that these cars, of course, pollute the air and all this stuff, you know, the technology to make them run better and cleaner, or to, you know, or to cover up the emissions, obviously would have been very cutthroat, dangerous work. But I guess it's hard to think. Normally when you think of a heist movie, it's centered around, like, rather than conceptual ideas, it's centered around, like, how much money are we going to get from robbing this bank or whatever. But this is like, how much money will we get for covering up or exposing this idea, you know, which is a different, you know, it's a completely different take on, to me, on most heist films. Although I guess you could argue that a lot of films are heist films that don't get categorized that way. I would say almost every Fast and Furious movie is just a heist film. And, you know, even a hotter take, every Star Wars movie is a heist film. So those were, some of the positives. Let's see, it's shot beautifully. I thought Soderbergh really did something interesting here with the wide angle lens to make you feel this constant presence in the scenes, and the way the camera would pan over in the shots, and, you know, that fisheye lens type feeling of being in the room with them. It's a little jarring at first, but after a while you get used to it, and in a weird way it's like the camera adds urgency because of that. Of course you get your typical subplots, you know, in these type of flicks. Is someone's hiding an affair, another person's hiding that they stole some money in this way, and all that stuff. So you get all that typical stuff. And then, since it is a spoiler review, I love the ultimate ending with John Hamm essentially, taking a handout, taking a payoff, after all this buildup of him being this guy who's gonna get his man and stop this heist and, you know, and all this stuff. And then essentially it's, you know, hey, how would you like to get this money? And you probably, be a big time police guy, like, go just get out of here. And it's like, yeah, of course he'll take that money. Of course he'd love to do that. And then the ultimate twist being that Don Cheadle was in on it the whole time, and he just wanted to get enough money to get out of the game. You know, that was pretty cool as well. Benicio del Toro getting his just desserts from that woman who kills him, who's like the honeypot, you know. Just a lot of that era movie, heist movie cliches and stuff, and it was just a good mix of them, but they're all tropes I've seen before, so it wasn't like 100% surprising, but, you know, it was interesting. I think mainly just the performances undergird all of this shit. Like, you get good acting performances from all these people. I didn't feel like anyone mailed it in. I felt like everybody was, like a pretty complex, as complex as you can be in a heist movie. Every character was pretty complicated. It had various motivations that made sense and backstories. It felt like a lived in world, you know. Don Cheadle, you know, talking to like his ex, and then the current husband coming in there, and them having a moment of like, hey, don't you ever come back around here, you know. It just felt real in those type of ways. And I thought it was kind of a sneaky way to make Don Cheadle the star of the film, because at least in the previews and stuff I saw, I didn't know what this was for sure. And anytime you say it's a heist movie, it gives a certain vibe of like, these guys will be working together, but that wasn't really what it was at all. Nobody on the team really liked each other. So I just thought that was, all that stuff was interesting. Amy Simantz really steals the show as Mary Wirtz. Like, she took a part that, while it had some meat to it, I feel like she took the part and elevated it. there are no small parts, only small actors or whatever. So she like elevates that part as the wife of David Harbour, Matt Wirtz, and just took that whole thing to another level. And I found myself feeling concerned about their marriage and their family and all this shit. And it's in the middle of this heist movie where people are getting shot and dying and betrayed, and you know, like, so like, but that still was a compelling story to me. And I give her most of the credit because it was how she was acting that really made it, that way. But yeah, man, very, very like cool, slick storytelling. And I think that those are the strongest parts of it. And just that dark, grimy, foreboding, I think is the right word, but you feel like, oh man, something's gonna happen, this ain't gonna go right. And that tension was cool the whole movie without getting like to like, you know, it didn't get to like Uncut Gems or whatever that movie was. Like, it wasn't so intense that you almost want to turn it off, but it was intense enough to be like, there's stakes here, like this shit can go wrong in a bunch of different ways, and none of them work out good for our boys, you know. So let's talk about dislikes for the movie, because I think I covered pretty much the things that I really did like. So dislikes, I would say, maybe because the stakes are this conceptual engine type of shit, the stakes don't feel so like it's hard to really wrap your mind around. Like, it's not like A Wad of Cash, you know what I mean, or you know, like it's a Casino or something like that. I forgot to mention, you know, Matt Damon's in this movie. He's kind of hidden in all the trailers. He's like you wouldn't know he was in this movie, but I think that was supposed to be this big joker of like Matt Damon showing up and being in this film and playing this role. But honestly, it felt like almost like he was pointlessly in this movie. It's like he was just a stand-in for the man, because he just basically was a white dude being like, I'm all about my money, and this is gonna cost me a little bit of money, but I'll be fine because I'm the white man. And you know, at the end, he is okay because he's the white man. You know, I think the fisheye lens can also feel gimmicky in some scenes. Like, some scenes it does feel like it's overused, or like, you know what, like, what are you trying to prove with this? And I know Soderbergh is an interesting dude because he recorded High Flying Bird on an iPhone, and that was like a big thing. Like, I think he takes on these type of pet projects or whatever, these like goals of like, what if I record a movie on an iPhone, or what if I record a movie with a fisheye lens? And this felt kind of like that. Like, what if I record this whole movie with a fisheye lens? Ain't nobody did that shit before. And some scenes it works great, some scenes it's like, I like, it just feels like you're putting on for no reason. I think another thing that can harm the film is that it's subtle in a lot of areas, and when you have a cast this good, I think people want to see them do, like, they want to see big, they want to see, you know, costumes and chases and violence, and you get some of that, but it's very understated, and in some ways it feels almost more real because it's understated. But then you get to the end and you think about, like, you know, all this crime spree they basically went on all day, and who's going to clean this up, and no one notices, no one's going to go looking for these guys, you know. Just kind of interesting there. I felt like when you get a cast this big, the writing kind of let the cast down, because there weren't a lot of memorable one-liners, you know. Like, I didn't walk out of this with a lot of quotes. And you would like, you know, if I told you who's in the main cast of this movie, I think people would walk out like, oh, I know this shit had bars. And nah, it wasn't really a lot of bars in this joint, you know what I mean? Not that anyone did a bad job, but I don't feel like they wrote amazing characters, you know, that live on. And when you get, you know, when you get a cast like this, you kind of hope that you do, because I think like Ray Liotta's in this joint. Like, you just got a lot of great character actors that just always deliver. And then, you know, like I said, it was a little, like, some of that stuff was a little bit of a letdown, you know. Even like John Hamm, who's in this movie, like, you know, he gets like not that much of a screen time, you know. So yeah, that's what I would say for the negatives. Oh, and it's a little too long. That's another thing I have to add for negatives. This is about 2 hours. Once again, another one of these movies where I feel like you could have taken out some of the subplot stuff, and because it wasn't germane to the main plot and didn't really have any bearing on where the movie would go. I feel like you can take that shit out and probably cut this down about 1 hour 40 and still have the crux of the plot, and it won't feel like it's dragging to people. It won't feel like, you know, now you gotta go see his ex-wife and ask about, you know, borrowing a car or some shit. It's just like, nah, let's just go to the heist. It's like, I feel like the difference between this and the Oceans movies is the style. It was so much more stylish and clever and witty and funny and all that, and none of that is in this. So I do think the film suffers from that. All right, let's rate this bad boy 0 to 5. I think I would give this movie a 2.5. Like, it's solidly in the middle, and I think a lot of these HBO Max movies are just that. Like, they were gonna come out in the theater, they probably weren't gonna like kill it in the theater anyway, but it's how you justify, you know, your budget, how you justify having a studio. It was gonna do all right. It was gonna get middle reviews. Some people will like it, some people won't. And I think that's why they just pulled the trigger on these movies and said, fuck it, just put them on HBO Max. Like, these shits ain't world beaters anyway. And it's funny because I think when I saw the lineup at the beginning of the year when they were like, we gonna be dropping a movie every month, I mean, I was excited for these movies. I was like, oh shit, y'all just giving away Mortal Kombat? Y'all just giving away Space Jam? Y'all, you know, like, oh, look at this Don Cheadle movie. But I've been mostly underwhelmed with the HBO Max straight to streaming movies. Even like King Kong, even the ones I was looking forward to a lot. So I think this one is another, like, it's not terrible because it was gonna be in the theaters, but it's not good necessarily either for me. So I give it about a 2.5 out of 5. I'm sure some people will love it. It's not, I don't think it's a stupid movie, but it can be a bit of a boring movie. So yeah, about 2.5, maybe 3, you know, somewhere around there, out of 5. All right, y'all, we'll talk to you in a second. I got many more of these reviews to do today, and we gonna get them.